Today we will share the point under this title. Paul the Apostle declares that the end of all things is near. The last days Peter refers to are the days leading to the return of Jesus Christ. As the day of Jesus' return draws near, Peter gives us four exhortations on how we should live. First, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Second, love each other deeply. Third, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And finally, serve one another with the gifts you have received. He teaches us. Let's learn these one by one. First, in the last days, believers must be alert, sober, and prayerful. Let us read verse 7 together. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. First book of Peter 4:7. The Bible often tells us, be alert, be sober, watch, and pray. These are repeated instructions, and they reflect the essential posture of a believer living in the end times. You must pray. Why? Because Satan, the devil, is real. Does Satan exist? He does exist. He is at work trying to destroy believers through relationships. First book of Peter 5:8 says, be alert and of sober mind. Why? Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. This devil roams around seeking whom he may devour, but whom does he target? He does not touch the praying believer. He looks for those who do not pray. And when he finds them, he strikes. What happens when a believer is bitten by the devil? They become influenced, devilish in attitude and behavior. Instead of being a channel of grace, one ends up hindering grace. Instead of building up the church, they bring confusion and destruction. Instead of revealing the gospel, they may even end up opposing it. This is what happens when we do not pray. Paul, deeply aware of the reality of the devil and his schemes, implores the church to put on the full armor of God. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 11. In these last days, the believer's faith is a spiritual warfare against the devil. The devil seeks to destroy believers through relationships. He aims to cause them to stumble in their faith. We must be armed. We must fight this. With what do we arm ourselves? And how can we fight and overcome? Paul enumerates many pieces, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and so on. But at the end, he emphasizes one thing above all, prayer. Prayer has primacy over all things. Book of Ephesians, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Book of Ephesians 6:18. In this single verse, the call to prayer is repeated in seven different ways. This highlights just how critical prayer is. We must be armed with prayer. When we pray, the devil cannot dare to touch us. While Moses held up his hands in prayer, the Amalekite forces were defeated. When we pray, we destroy the schemes of the devil. On the other hand, if you do not pray, what happens? We are devoured by the devil and fall into his traps. Let us be alert. Stay awake and sober and pray. In 2 book of Timothy 3, Paul describes the last day as terrible times and lists many characteristics. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. These are the characteristics of people in the last days. But who is Paul referring to? He is not talking about unbelievers or those outside the church. He is speaking about those inside the church, parishioners. When believers start praying, they may appear to love God, but in reality, they love pleasure more. They have the form of godliness, but lack its power. They do not love God. They have the semblance of it. They are hiddenness. They only have the shape of it. They have the name of the parishioner, but they do not know the works of God because they don't pray. This is the result of not praying. You will be bitten by the Satan and you will self-destruct. Even Jesus, in the book of Matthew 24, after listing the signs of the end times, ultimately exhorted us with this one command: be awake and pray. Matthew 24:42, therefore keep watch and pray. Above all, love each other deeply. Be awake. You never know when Jesus will appear. Something to the effect, it says. Always pray. Stay awake. Along those lines, it reads in the Bible. The highlight of the last days is darkness. There will be a pure darkness. The sinful ways will be deepened, and the parishioners, they will be tired by the... they will lose their prayers. But what about us? Let us be awakened. Let us always pray, stay sober, alert, and say amen aloud. Stay awake, be sober, and pray. Let us be awakened in the mornings and start your day with a prayer. Your time, allot your time, and fill the praying hours. Always pray in solitude and in the chapel. Pray alone and pray in group with your fellow parishioners in PRA 1, 2, 3. Let us pray. Prayer always. Be up 1 hour and 2 hours and 3 hours into infinity. Always pray for yourself and for others and for the country and your community and your parishioners. Always pray. In the last days, to prepare for it, let us pray as it is nearing. And secondly, the last days are nearing. Let us love each other, it teaches us. Let us read verse 8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Amen. Jesus described one of the marks of the end times like this. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Book of Matthew 24:12. This is a key feature of the last days. In contrast, what is the hallmark of the true church in the end times? It is overflowing love. Let me ask you this. Are you following along? If you are a true parishioner and you are a true church, you will be overflowing with love. Paul labored diligently to build up the church. Among the many churches, Paul praised the Thessalonian church highly in particular. Among all churches, he held up the Thessalonian church as a model. To benchmark, he essentially said, this is what a church should be, ought to be. This is the image of a true end-time church. One of its defining traits was the abundance of love. They were filled with love. We ought always to thank God for you. brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love of all you have for one another is increasing. Second book of Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 3. Your love for one another is abounding, ever increasing. You are enriched by the love of God. Again, your love for one another is abounding and ever increasing. I pray that our church will become like the church in Thessalonica. I prayed like this. That is my prayer, for our church to be commendable, a source of joy to the Lord, a true end-time church among all churches. May ours be one God bears as a treasure and delight. May our faith continue to grow, and may our love for one another overflow, just like the Thessalonian church. Let us be strengthened in faith, and that we will love each other ever increasingly. Let us not be sickened by lack of love, but be filled with love and love each other, heal each other, and rejoice together and revive together. Loving one another is not optional. It is a command of God. It is what we ought to do. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. First book of John 4:11. Book of John 13:34. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. John 13:34. Those who know God and belong to Him, they love one another. Those who follow Jesus, His true disciples, love one another. But dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. First book of John, chapter 4, verse 7. But this everyone will know that you are my disciples. You love one another. John 13:35. Let us also obey this command. Let us love one another deeply and fervently. But how are we to love? What is love, really? In verse 8, the Apostle Peter teaches us, love covers over a multitude of sins. What is love? It covers sin. That is love. That is the gospel, to cover a multitude of sins. God created all things. He created the world and placed man in the Garden of Eden. Do you amen to this? Do you believe in this creation of God? Amen. Do you believe that He has created all things and we were created in His image? Do you believe in this? You are not chimpanzees. You did not evolve from a chimpanzee. From the outset, since the time of history, you were created by God in His image. You are His creation. In this manner, God has created the world and created Eden and placed man in the Garden of Eden. There He provided all kinds of beautiful and delightful fruit for man to freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, He commanded, you must not eat from it, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 17. But man, deceived by the serpent, ate from the tree. Though God has spoken, man disobeyed. Then their eyes were opened, and they realized they were naked. In shame, they hid among the trees and fled from God. That's what sin does. It makes people run from God if you sin. Even among believers, sin causes them to avoid their pastors. They hide from the pastors, and they hide up in the fourth floor, for example. They don't say hi after the sermon. They run away. They escape. But God sought out the hidden Adam first. Adam, Adam, where are you? And for these sinners, unable to stand before him in shame, God sacrificed an animal, shed its blood, and made garments of skin to cover them. He covered their nakedness and shame, covering. That is love. That is a gospel. Book of Psalm 32:1. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. That is love. That is the gospel. To forgive transgressions, to cover sin. It covers it. That is what the gospel is. This past Wednesday evening, we concluded our study of Exodus, and tonight we will celebrate with a feast, a table of fellowship. We will feast tonight. Let us give thanks to God and encourage one another and rejoice in the word that God graciously gave us. Do you like Jonglo duck? It's not that. Through Exodus, we learned about the tabernacle. In its innermost part lies the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, its own name because it holds the Ark of the Covenant. The lid of the Ark is called the Atonement Cover. In English, it is referred to as Atonement Cover. What does cover mean? It means to hide, to shield, to cover sin and inequity. That is what it means. Right there, it's the atonement cover, the mercy seat, the lid of the Ark of the Covenant. It was on that very spot on the 10th day of the 7th month, the Day of Atonement, that all the sins of Israel were forgiven. Their sins and transgressions were covered. That is the gospel. That is love. Noah had three sons, right? Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Among them, Shem and Japheth were blessed before God, but Ham was cursed. Why did that happen? How was it demarcated in that way? One day, after working his vineyard, Noah drank wine and became drunk. He fell asleep in the open. As the wine took effect and his body became hot in his sleep, he removed all his clothing. And so his shame and nakedness were exposed for all to see. Throughout the Bible, we see many people making grave mistakes and falling into ruin because of alcohol. Scripture records this plainly to warn us. Does drinking alcohol send you to hell? No, but I urge you, don't drink. Doesn't mean that you should be intoxicated and indulge in alcohol. You will stumble. Many have fallen and been destroyed while under the influence of alcohol. The Bible gives us this warning amply and clearly. Noah also, having become drunk, made a grave mistake and lay on the ground naked, exposed in shame and disgrace. His second son, Ham, saw his father in that condition and then ran out to spread the news on the street. Hey, everyone, listen to this. Can't believe it. This is what the church looks like today, corrupt and decaying. The church is corrupted, he announced this. He spoke without fear or reverence, recklessly and shamelessly exposing the fault. But what did Shem and Japheth do when they heard the news? They immediately took a garment, ran to their father. Why did they do this? to cover the shame of Noah and what they covered Noah. They covered them with it. They concealed his sin and shame. Later, when Noah awoke, he spoke by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, pronouncing blessings and curses. Ham and his descendants were cursed. An everlasting curse was spoken over them by Shem and Japheth. A blessing was declared over them, and the reason they were blessed is clear. It was because of the gospel-centered action, their act of love. They covered the shame and disgrace with a garment. They covered sin and fault. That is love. That is the gospel. Jesus is the garment, the sinners, and those who are shameful, to cover them, their sins. He is the sacrificial lamb. He died on the cross, and from his sacrifice, our sins were covered. He concealed our sins. We have received this love. We have received this love preemptively from Jesus. Hence, let us love each other feverishly. Let us cover each other's sins and the shame, and cover each other with this love. Let us love each other. Thirdly, the third exhortation, as the end of all things is near, we must offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Hospitality means welcoming a guest, a stranger, someone you may not even know, especially those who travel for the sake of the gospel. Like the Apostle Paul, such evangelists should be welcomed and served well. Serve them without grumbling, not out of obligation, begrudgingly, but willingly with joy. Treat them with honor as servants of God and actively serve them. The Bible records several cases where blessings came through generous hospitality. Book of Genesis 18, Abraham welcomed three visitors and served them well. It was a Lord and two angels in human form. Abraham didn't realize it, but he served them. Seeing the three men from afar, he ran to meet them and hurried to provide water, bread, and a prepared calf, giving his best. And what happened? He received the promise of a son through Sarah. A great blessing followed. He was very old. He received this promise and received God's promise. She regarded Elisha as a man of God and honored him. Every time he came to town, she provided him a room in her house, furnished with a table and a chair, and served him warm meals with care. And what happened? Elijah began to ponder something deeply. He asked himself, what good things can I ask of God to bless this woman? He was so moved that he desired to see her richly blessed. And when he found that she had no son, he prayed to God and she was granted a son. She received a great blessing. In Acts 16, we meet Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth, who also showed great hospitality to Paul. Paul and Silas were on their second missionary journey. They met Lydia and preached the gospel to her. Lydia received the message in faith and believed. Then she honored them as servants of God and invited them to stay at her house, showing them hospitality. And what was the result? Lydia's entire household came to believe in Jesus and receive salvation. Hallelujah. What a great blessing. Not only that, her home became the very first church in all of Europe. Hallelujah. The kind of blessing that comes through hospitality. Therefore, do not serve grudgingly or out of obligation. See it as a God-given opportunity for blessing and serve actively, especially when it comes to ministers of the gospel. Treat them as servants of God and honor them by serving them with your best. Just a few weeks ago, I visited Shina Art Church and Shinocha Gwangju Church in Thailand with several pastors from our presbytery. There we met Elder Jin Yong Lee and Deaconess Bue Kim. When they welcomed our pastors with such joy and warmth, I couldn't help but feel a spontaneous desire to bless them. And it wasn't just me. All the pastors felt the same way. It was the heart of the Lord in us, and the heart becomes a channel of blessing. In the early days of Suji, our church, pastors from our presbytery came to hold a New Year's service right here at our church. They came, worshiped with us, prayed fervently with us, and then each returned to their respective churches. But after they left, our church was left overflowing with grace that lingered in the atmosphere. Indeed, there is something different about our pastor, something powerful when they pray. After I realized that for sure, I began saying, hold your meetings here. Whether it's the presbytery gathering or New Year's blessing service, have it at our church. I would invite them like this, as I believe that it is our blessing. And so the missionaries, evangelists, when they come to our church, they are emboldened from our church and they want to visit our church over and over again. And tonight we will have an invitee to be with us and worship with us again. Like that, they like to return to our church because of our hospitality. The end of last days is coming and Jesus' parousia, the second coming, is nearing. Let us do our utmost and serve and provide accommodation to our guests. And lastly, the fourth exhortation, use your gift to serve one another. Each of you shall use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. First Book of Peter 4:10. Amen. God gives spiritual gifts to each of us. First Book of Corinthians 12, we see the variety of gifts. The message of wisdom, the message of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in tongues, and interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one of the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each other, just as He determines. First Book of Corinthians 12:11. You will receive the gift of being entrepreneurial, enriching monetary-wise, those who are in business. I pray that you will receive this special gift. Amen. All these gifts are from the Holy Spirit and the will of God, how it gets distributed according to His well, we will receive the gifts. Yearn for the prophecy and the gifts. Yearn for this. Receive the gifts. Embrace it. Do not reject it. Something along those lines. It is taught to us. It teaches us to yearn for this. Let us yearn for the gifts and that it will be enriched and paved to this end. Book of Corinthians 14:12 teaches us the purpose of the gifts. The purpose is to build up the church. What is the purpose again? What is the church? Is that a building? No, the church is the gathering of the called, the saints, the parishioners. We are the church, strengthening each one of us in faith. That is the purpose of the gifts. With the gifts, we serve and minister to one another so we can stand firm in faith. The Apostle Peter also speaks in the same way. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. What are we to do? Serve one another. The gifts are given as a blessing to help us serve the church. But there is something we must be careful about this. And to this end, we are to receive the gifts. You have to pray for each other. Pray. And to the sick, you have to serve the sick and diligently seek them out and help them to be healed. If you have the power of healing, then you have to uplift poverty from the impoverished. In this way, carry out the work of God as you have received the gifts. Correspondingly, carry out the work of God. When you serve each other, there's something that we must be careful of. We must do it in reverence for God and ensure that only God receives the glory. Let's read verse 11 together. Ready? If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength of God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. There are gifts of speaking, preaching, teaching, and encouraging. When serving in speech, we must speak as if speaking the very words of God. That means we speak as representatives of God with reverence toward him and a deep sense of responsibility for the souls we address. If anyone serves, they must do so with the strength of God's supplies. We must not rely on our own knowledge or skill to seek glory for ourselves, but ensure God alone receives the glory. It's not because of your capacity, your strength, but it is God's will and his power, and rightfully you glorify him. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Book of Peter 4:11. Glory must be given to the Lord God alone. Our serving and ministering is simply what is expected of servants. And only God is worthy to receive glory. That is why we must do all things rightly. Thus, we must exalt only the Lord. That is what the Lord says. Book of Isaiah 42:8. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. God alone must receive glory. We must not impair ourselves between his glory to steal any part of it. Only God, only he receives the glory. The psalmist also confesses this truth. Book of Psalm 115:1. Because of your love and faithfulness, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory. Only to his name you return the glory. according to the gift that we have received, we serve each other. But the glory must be His. Let us do this. In the last days, we are serving God. Let us be awakened to this. Be sober, be awake, and pray. Let us feverishly love each other. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling, and do not unearth each other's faults, but love each other and cover each other with love. Do not begrudgingly love each other, but proactively love each other and serve each other in His name. Live this week in that way. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Hold fast to the word. Amen.